Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Beautiful day out, at least so far. Looking forward to it. I know it was nice yesterday. It was nice enough to be doing some yard work, which, you know, in the summer, in the middle of the day in Pensacola, I'll take it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, joins us every Wednesday this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Before we get to particular issues, let's start with what I guess is the hot news of the day. Ann Hill, former city councilwoman who lost her re-election bid against Allison Patton, is now declared herself pre-filed to run for mayor against you. Before we get to that particular question, I have an even prior question, which is, are you running for mayor again? Because I don't think you've officially said.
Yeah, we obviously you know, this has been, you know, the honor of my life to be able to do this for my hometown where I'm from and to be able to try to have a positive impact on our community. And you know, with that comes lots of sacrifice personally, but more so lots of sacrifice family-wise and all of that. And so, you know, we have a process for this. You know, I think I'm on record saying I really do believe this is, you know, at least an 8-year job if you really want to start initiatives and then really see them through. So, we haven't made, you know, a final decision, obviously, or we would have pre-filed, but, you know, I think it's an 8-year job but you know, that doesn't mean that we mitigate those conversations, with our family and making sure that, you know, this is the right thing. So we have a process, we have a strategy to this in terms of, you know, how we want to discuss it and how we want to, you know, formalize when we think the right time is to get into the race. I guess to answer your question, we're certainly trending that way. But we haven't made that decision yet.
All right. So yes, but not yet. I got you. Which is fine. I respect that. Certainly some challenger of pre-files does not mean you have to make your decision or announce it, the next morning on the radio. So I appreciate that. I know it's a long thing and you're not even running yet officially for re-election, but any thoughts on the platform that Ann has laid out? We're going to talk to her at 7:20 at 8:20 this morning. We talked about it quite a bit at 6:30. She leads with parking. She wants free parking downtown, which is, I think, is probably
right.
I
think this is a vitally important job to the success of our city. It is expected that, this is going to rarely ever be an unopposed race. I think it's a job that lots of people are qualified for, believe they're qualified for. I would never rent if we file and when we file, I would never expect that this would be some unopposed race. And, you know, I think that's good for the city to have conversations about how things are going. And all that. So, no, I don't have, I haven't looked nor really plan on responding to anything, you know, a year out when we haven't even filed ourselves. But again, I certainly respect the process and it is fully expected that we would have, people running if we are going to go as a reelect. So we'll see how things play out. Long way to go here. And really, if I'm doing duty to our citizens, I got to spend less time worrying about platforms from others a year out, and we got two important things moving right now.
Yeah, I thought it actually. I mean, I expect Charles Baer is going to be running. We had a texter earlier who said that they want Eldon Scott, who is the kind of like the taste and fun ambassador for Sonny's, that he he should run. And you know, you might have trouble
now
beating Eldon.
Eldon's
very popular.
That's
I mean, he brings the meat. He brings the good meat. All right,
that's right. Exactly. So, that's what's going to be tough to beat.
Studio 850, John Singley, who's always just really good work, talked about the question you got asked at the town hall with Chief Brown. Whoever was asked about the use of the surveillance cameras that have been authorized in most every county and or municipality in the panhandle. You know, recently Gulf Breeze added them. These are the plate readers that can tell you the make, right, the model. You can plug information in. You can find bad guys. I mean, they're extremely useful. Also concerns about private privacy, and also a question about whether this is something that can be done without coming to city council. Your thoughts, responses?
Well, first of all, public safety should always be the number one focus of my job, and always is. We believe that having license plate readers and having that enhanced level of safety for us to be able to have more eyes on the street as we have criminals or you know, people fleeing the police, evading the police, hiding from the police, that we're able to improve our outcomes of finding them. And I think certainly the sheriff agrees with that. And, you know, the question came up, well, is it controversial in other states? Well, ShotSpotter is controversial in other states. I think if you look at the political leanings and, you know, if you go to the Chicago area, I believe they banned ShotSpotter because they thought it was racially divisive, yeah. Which is kind of surprising when you think about what color skin does it matter that you have if you're shooting a gun illegally. It really shouldn't make any difference at all.
And you can just as easily make the claim that you are doing something to protect minority people who are most often the victims of violent crime. So it can be run that it's racist to not have ShotSpotter.
Exactly. So the bottom line is, in this city, public safety number one, and if we can improve outcomes in public safety, as Chief Brown shared, that the fact that we had a missing child case, an open case that was solved because of license plate readers, then, you know, we're going to go with what we believe gives everybody here the best outcome. And again, I mean, we could go in for, as you know, probably spend an hour on previous Supreme Court precedent that on expectations of privacy in public, all of those types of things. But if the worst counterbalance, if I can improve public safety outcomes, keep our citizens safer, and the only counterbalance to that is, well, what if someone sees my license plate when I'm on the way to the mall? If that's the worst situation that we have counterbalancing improved public safety, then I think we're doing the right thing.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, hang on for just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash west of Troy Boulevard at Duran. They're saying the roadway is clear. I-10 right near Pine Forest as you're headed eastbound. That is moving slowly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. One quick follow-up on the license plate readers. And it's kind of the question I had first asked, which is that a decision that needed to go to city council? Do you plan to bring it to city council? Am I dumb and I didn't see that it already did go to city council?
I would defer that to our city attorney on, you know, as we always do.
Okay.
You know, if it's something that is required to bring to council, we certainly would do that. And if it's something that isn't required to go to council, then we won't. So, you know, we don't pick and choose battles with that subjectively. You know, we follow the charter and follow the rules. We always go on the advice of our city attorney. And let me have one other follow. I think it's important on the surveillance side as well. When you go to Chick-fil-A today, I just want to tell you, they have cameras too. So if you have this expectation of privacy, there's plenty of, and you're concerned about the government's ability to have an expectation of privacy, I would also follow by saying every restaurant, every grocery store, everywhere you go to, every bar, every restaurant has cameras, and you don't know what they're doing with that footage. Certainly, they're not under the same rules as the government. So this idea that this is something foreign or an outlier to for us to be able to keep our city safer, you know, to me just really doesn't add up.
Well, not to prolong the conversation, but I mean, you know, there is this longstanding suspicion of the worries of becoming a police state, right? That it's one thing to have private individuals who have Ring doorbell cameras. Yes, that definitely does change the nature of our society. But having police with a widespread network of interconnected cameras, which you can use to search for particular license plates, which certainly runs the risk, if not the practical effect, of being abused by people, it is a different kind of thing, and it's not quite the same as just having, you know, all of these thousands of different private individuals with their disconnected cameras, even though they can be turned over to law enforcement. If every Chick-fil-A and Publix was connected to the real-time crime center, I'd be concerned about that, frankly.
Well, understand the expectation of privacy. I don't know how the standard would be any different from the 80s and 90s when a police officer, a highway patrolman, could also run your tag anytime without you knowing, sitting in a parking lot. This is a more efficient way to do that. And again, if the net positive is that we can find people that should be found and that are hiding from justice, if that's our net positive here, I mean, go look at stats all over the country right now. I think the number one reason is technology. Look at this. Look at crime rates. Look at murder rates in every city in the country right now. Safety is up everywhere. And for it to be everywhere, Republican cities, Democratic cities, East Coast, West Coast, for you to see that happening everywhere, what is the common denominator? I believe the common denominator is better crime fighting tools for people, for our sworn officers to be able to solve crimes more efficiently. I firmly believe, because what would the other common denominator be?
Well, National Guard deployment, obviously. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
But no, I think the common denominator in every city is technology gets better and crime fighting gets more efficient. And this is another example of that in our city. And here's what we know. We know that the number one issue every year, doesn't matter your party, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your age, in the city of Pensacola, is that you want to be safe while you sleep. That's the number one goal. So we are fighting to improve that number one goal for everybody.
We got a couple of things that are going to be on next week's agenda. One is you're going to do a deal for pallet shelters with the Offensive Camp, which is great. I love that. And also with REAP. Is this not the first ones, is it? Is this the first ones?
It is. Welcome to procurement, a average procurement.
A year later.
With state laws, not with city ordinances, with state laws and everything else, you know, while we're looking at efficiencies, is about 132 days is how long a procurement takes, if everything goes well. And a lot of those stop gaps are put in place for a transparency reason, understandable.
Right. But
we're not any faster or any slower than state law and federal law provides on some of these, on some of these funding streams. But nonetheless, we are happy to have, these are the pallet shelters. I believe we have 70 going in at REAP and 13 going in at Offensive and potentially more. REAP also went and got grants for some of the site prep, which is not a qualified expense, in the $1 million of ARPA funding that you remember we reallocated. So, I mean, you're talking about having 80, places for unhoused to be able to live and to be able to try to get back on their feet. And so this is, our goal was, hey, a low barrier shelter was going to be a big bite at the apple that we all need to be at the table at as a business community, as a county, as a city. But this is something we could do now. So we're very excited to bring this forward and get these leases approved and start to improve some of those unhoused outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I thought this project was great from the beginning, and I'm glad to finally see some of them actually get deployed. Quick thing, we're starting to run out of time, but the Bay Bluffs Park is on the agenda for next week, part of the agreement, but also you guys are going to do what, some community engagement, listening tours kind of stuff?
Yeah, we don't have an exact date yet, but we are looking at mid-October. We're going to have kind of our first kickoff kind of listening session. The last thing we're really doing right between now and then is we're trying to get our consultant, kind of our design consultant, on board. We obviously would love to have them at this meeting to hear all of these ideas. But I've after 8 months of waiting on the state and on DEP and on everybody else, I'm certainly appreciative that we've gotten the funding, but. We've had such a long wait on this that I feel like the citizens deserve the ability, at least at the very beginning, to start talking about, you know, vision things, wish list things, start that conversation. So we're going to do that in mid-October, and we'll get you an exact date soon.
Reasonable expectation for when I might be able to go lawfully set foot inside the Bay Bluffs area?
It would be too early to speculate. I would think, you know, again, with this process, I would think probably end of 26, early 27, but that the reason it's variable is because what are we building?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
how
complicated is the structure? If it's primitive trails, maybe pretty quick. If it's going to be more
build
structural
something, yeah.
type things that we end up going with, then that'll change it.
Oh, and by the way, not to go back, but just because I didn't ask the question, the plate reader cameras, they're in place, they're soon, they're months away.
They are not in place yet. Obviously, we're not going to disclose locations of where they're going to go exactly, but they are not fully in place yet. I think that's in process right now.
Okay. All right, cool. And I'll talk with PPD tomorrow, and, you know, they might be able to give more detail also.
Yeah, there you go.
We always like to end with a lightning round. Mayor D.C. Reeves, what was your first job, and how much did it pay?
I always like talking about this. I was rolling silverware at Flounders, my first job in high school, to pay for my first car. So $6 an hour, no tips. When tip wage was $2.13. And then my second job was at the 9th and Airport location of Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, no, I know we share that
really,
one for sure.
Where I really carved my entrepreneurial spirit.
And probably in the post VHS era, it was all DVDs by the time you were there. Is that right?
Exactly. You paid more. You had both. You had both options.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where exactly is your kitchen trash can located?
It's in a drawer. Thank goodness it's a double barrel. You know, it's just one of those drawers that you could pull out for recycling and for trash. All as right. a happy recycler here in the city of Pensacola.
Oh, the two sides.
That's very helpful for us.
I gotcha. And when you're going upstairs, are you going up one step at a time, two steps with each step, a half step, so it takes you two steps to get up one step? What's your stair approach?
Depends on if I'm late. I think if I'm in an outdoor staircase, like a football game, I'm double staring it. But I think, you know, I did turn 41, so I'm not trying to, I don't need a lower back injury going to the press conference or anything. So I take it easy here at home.
Well, you have the one excuse if you go up the stairs at City Hall, that big, long circular staircase. It's hard to get to because they're so wide. But, hey, I'm 54. I go two steps at a time. You can do it. Mayor D.C. Reeves.
Andrew, but if you hold the inside at just a little tip at City Hall, you know, because since it wraps around that
hole, that's,
if you
that's
hold
smaller,
the inside
yeah.
like a NASCAR, it's actually much easier. You know, it's a much shorter route to get up.
The inside lane is a faster trajectory. That's right. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.